भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 5 द मीटिंग ऑफ नंद महाराज एंड वसुदेव टेक्स्ट 19. गोपान गोकुल रक्षायां गोपान गोकुल रक्षायां निरूप्य मथुरां गता निरूप्य मथुरां गता नंदः कंसस्य वार्षिक्यं नंदः कंसस्य वार्षिक्यं करं दातुं कुरुद्वः करं दातुं कुरुद्वः. ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपर्ड बाय इस रिवाइंड बेस ऐसी व्यक्ति विदान समश्ल प्रोपा. ट्रांसलेशन. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, my dear Parikshit, O best protector of the Kuru dynasty, Nanda Maharaj appointed the local cowherd man to protect Gokul and then went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kansa. Purport. Because the killing of babies was going on and had already become known, Nanda Maharaj was very much afraid for his newborn child. Thus, he appointed the local cowherd men to protect his home and child. He wanted to go immediately to Mathura to pay the taxes due and also to offer some presentation for the sake of his newborn son. For the protection of the child, he had worshipped various demigods and forefathers and given charity to everyone's satisfaction. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj wanted not only to pay Kansa the yearly taxes, but also to offer some presentation so that Kansa too would be satisfied. His only concern was how to protect his transcendental child Krishna." Hare Krishna. So in this verse we can see Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj, and we can see that here the system of giving taxes, how in the earlier ages how that system was followed. And here we can see that Nanda Maharaj, after celebrating the birth ceremony of Lord Krishna, he went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kansa. And Srila Prabhupada makes it clear in the purport that his purpose was twofold. One is to pay the yearly taxes and to give some presentation to Kansa so that he would be pleased and he would not harm the child. And his concern was to protect his child, and he knew that the killing of babies was going on in Vrindavan. Because Kansa was so fearful of his situation that he was thinking that his death has come in the form of this child, Krishna. And he is there somewhere in Vrindavan. So in order to protect his position, he didn't mind killing all the newborn babies who were born within 10 days of Krishna's birth. And this was quite a fearful situation, because the Vrajavasis that time, they were having so much fear that suddenly Kansa's people would come and snatch away the child and kill. And Nanda Maharaj, he celebrated this ceremony. It was a great ceremony. He gave almost like 200,000 cows in charity to Brahmanas, a lot of grains. And just not the cows, but they were decorated with wonderful dresses and gold, like that. Grains were given in charity, huge amount of grains were given. So it was quite obvious that Nanda Maharaj is observing the birth of some child. So the message might have gone to Kansa. He was in that mindset. And therefore, he wanted to make sure that his child is not harmed. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purports, he explains that Nanda Maharaj, in fact, did not know that this is the same child, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And this was out of parental affection. He is the eternal father of Lord Krishna. And in that mood, under the influence of Yogamaya potency, the eternal father and mother of Krishna, they forget that he is the Supreme Personality of God. They think that he is their child and they need to give some protection. Of course, Krishna doesn't need anyone's protection. But out of parental affection, he accepts the protection of his eternal father and mother. And therefore, he went to Mathura, where Kansa was residing. And yesterday also, Baldev Prabhu, he explained the in Kali Yuga what is going to happen. The government or the leaders or of the countries, they would levy so much taxes on people that they will leave their homes and run in the forest. But in earlier ages, we could see that they were not having that kind of fear, in the sense that there was so much morality, there was so much truthfulness, honesty, that they themselves would go and give the taxes. There was no pressure on them. They would very happily, as a their prescribed duty. Of course, in today's world, the scenario is completely different. People have to be reminded of their duties, and so much taxes, so many taxes are there. You go to purchase something, there is some tax. So people are so much tax in that way. And in the earlier ages, that there was this system of give and take. It is not that they were just paying the taxes. And in fact, Manusmita explains that the citizens had to give 1/5 of their animals to the king, 1/10 of their metals or whatever important metals they had in their house, 1/10 of their grains, 1/4 of their pious credits, and 1/6 of their sinful activities. Because by collecting the money or doing some kind of business, there is some kind of sin involved. Anyone doing regular activities, there is so much sin involved. And king would take that sin, 1/6 of their sin. And his duty was to see that the citizens are protected. Srila Prabhupada explains that who is a Kshatriya? Kshatriya is the one who protects people from falling in a mortal bondage to lust. They are not able to find the goal of life. Then he has to uplift them. That is the real duty of Kshatriya. We may think that sometimes somebody may be very active or very passionate, we may just label him as Kshatriya. But that is just one aspect of his character. But the real duty of Kshatriya is to protect people from falling down in this mortal world. People are... Therefore, this knowledge was given to the saintly kings, Rajarshis, who would in that way guide citizens and protect them from all respects, give them complete security. So they were reciprocating in that way. Even the citizens, they were so comfortable with a particular king that they would happily give. So in that way, we can see that there was a system of give and take. And even in their ordinary dealings, there was a bartering system. I would give something and for his needs, what he needs, and I will accept what he has for my needs. So in that way, there was not any economic crisis, because the resources of this material nature were handled very carefully. In the present situation, we can see that people or the leaders of the society are unaware of this fact. And therefore, there is no proper use of resources, or the Mother Earth is not considered as a personality, or the Mother Earth who can fulfill all our needs. And therefore, there have been so many economic crises in today's world. And the more we try to take from the Mother Earth without giving anything in return, then she is going to withhold. Just like somebody has some wealth and you may just try to snatch it away. What is the immediate reaction? He would try to hold it. He would not allow that to be snatched away. Similarly, the Mother Earth has so many resources, but she is not very happy to give, because in the name of industrialization or whatever we may call it, people are exploiting Mother Earth. The oil, they are drilling so much that they have to go deeper and deeper, because Mother Earth is holding that again back. And in that way, we can see that there are so many economic crises are going on. In the earlier ages, the kings were conscious that they have to protect the Mother Earth, the environment, the animals of the society. They play an important role in the ecology of the system. And therefore, we could see that there were no economic crises. People were more happy. There were more morality was there, truthfulness, honesty. But in today's world, these values are getting lost. And the purpose of the shastras or the scriptures is to bring people to the higher levels in terms of their character, their values, so that they realize the presence of Supreme Lord Krishna in the form of his various energies. Rasopsam Kautilya. Krishna says that I am the taste of water. In that way, one should see that that is Krishna's energy in the form of water, which is so easily available to us. And we take it so much granted that, and we use so much water. And in fact, last year, Gopal's Garden children, on their annual day, they perform a small drama, wonderful skit. But the message was so much strong and important that it was quite alarming. And these children, they showed that after some years, there'll be guards protecting the water reservoirs. Yes, it can happen like that. Because what is happening in today's world is that there is so much pollution going on and so much wastage is thrown in the water. The water bodies of the rivers are getting polluted. Even the oceans are getting polluted. People may think that we just dump everything in the ocean, but ocean bodies are also getting polluted, and which in turn is affecting the entire environment in which we are living. And why these problems are going on, some person of economics, he was telling that the resources of this material world are limited. But our desires are unlimited. So that is an incompatible situation. And we desire more than what we need. And therefore, there is crisis. What we are supposed to share with each other, somebody is trying to take more than what he needs, then he is creating an imbalance. And therefore, if we go more deeper into the scriptures, which people may think that this is a mythology or this is not applicable in today's age. But if we go deeper and we see that the very basic principles, in Isha Upanishad it is explained that Isha Vasamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bhunjita Ma Grudhakasya Suddhanam. The very first mantra, it explains that everything is property of the Lord. We do not possess anything. When we came in this material world, we did not have anything. And we cannot take anything when we leave. But in between, we claim so much that we are going to live eternally. And we create so much imbalance in the environment, in the nature. And therefore, the very basic principle of Isha Upanishad, if somebody carefully studies that everything is property of the Lord. Isha Vasamidam Sarvam. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Tena tyaktena bhunjita. One should take whatever is just necessary. One should not increase the needs in one's life. One should try to live whatever basic things he can survive. And one should leave what is not required for others. And in that way, there will be balance in the society. The resources of this material world can be balanced. And Srila Prabhupada, he gives one more different angle. And he explains that if somebody follows the principle of Ekadashi, very simple principle, then it has such a great impact on the world. So much of grains will be saved. And there will not be any kind of starvation. At some places we can see that people are having too much and they are throwing grains in the ocean. Because if they sell the grains at a lesser price, then they will not get any profit. So they have to keep the prices high. And what extra grains they will do, they will throw. But if the same grains can be fed to the poor children who are starving, then there will not be any problem. So in this way, we can see that this is the duty of the leaders or those who are in the controller position. So this system of give and take was followed by the earlier kings or the citizens. And we can see that Nanda Maharaj, who was staying in Vrindavan, he was like a king of Vrindavan. And he was having some kind of control of that area. But he was so dutiful that he knew that he has to pay these yearly taxes. He was going to King Kansa at Mathura. And in that way, he is setting a very wonderful example. Usually people have fear that if I give something to somebody, then I may lose. That is the fear. And that's why people do not want to give. But in fact, it is explained that in giving one receives. And the more one develops that attitude of giving, Krishna will also make sure that he's not falling short when he actually needs. And in that way, the complete balance in the system or in the entire environment can be maintained. So this was one aspect of it. Then another aspect, when King Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, they meet. That time they were so happy to see each other. Vasudeva, he saw Nanda Maharaj. He got the news that Nanda Maharaj has come to Mathura. And he went to see him. And he had some kind of doubt in his mind. He was thinking that whether Nanda Maharaj knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is, the child who was transferred, because he knew that Balaram is the son of Vasudev, the son of Rohini. But whether he knows that Kansa is also Vasudeva's son. So he went to talk with Nanda Maharaj. And he was expressing his concern. He didn't directly ask that, how is my son Krishna? Because when Vasudeva, he took Krishna in that night when Krishna was born, only he knew that Krishna is his son, because everyone else was sleeping under the influence of Yoga Maya. And he only knew that he has transferred this child under the order of Lord Krishna himself, who told that, transfer me to Vrindavan and bring that girl here. And he did that in that night. And nobody knew that this had happened. And everyone was thinking that Krishna is born in Vrindavan. Of course, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna is originally from Vrindavan, and there are other interpretations of the story also. So he wanted to make sure that Vasudeva, Nanda Maharaj doesn't know this mystery. And he started asking. And he's expressing his concern about the protection of children in Vrindavan. And then the way he told was wonderful. He said that because Vasudeva was Kshatriya and Nanda Maharaj was Vaishya, and the duty of Vaishyas is to protect the cows, Kurushe Gauraksha Vanijya, and duty of Kshatriyas is to protect the citizens. And he was expressing that I could not protect my children, which I am supposed to do. All my 6 children, they were mercilessly killed by Kansa. And I failed in my duty in one sense. He was expressing his concern. So, indirectly he was asking the welfare of the child who was born in, who was there, that is Lord Krishna. And then the Maharaj, he starts speaking and he he explains that how he celebrated the birth ceremony of Krishna and like that. And then later on, he tells, Vasudeva tells to Nanda Maharaj that please go back again to Vrindavan to protect the child. Because while conversing, he was understanding exactly what are his needs, needs, interests and concerns. What Nanda Maharaj was having in his mind, what may be his anxiety. And he is not just telling all his problems, what, how he suffered and all, but that way he is understanding the mind of Nanda Maharaj. So that is a very important point we can learn, that how when we converse with each other or communicate with each other, how to see that others' needs, interest and concern are maintained, or we are also concerned about that. It is not that only my needs, interest and concerns are important. So, and his higher purpose was to protect the child. Because he was also concerned about Krishna, that Krishna should be protected in Vrindavan. Although he was in Mathura, but his consciousness was in Vrindavan. He was always thinking of Krishna, that whether the child is safe or not. And in that way, he was continuously Krishna conscious. So this was a wonderful point. I was thinking that how Shukadeva Goswami is including a complete chapter, the meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva. Because when two great souls, they meet, their center of discussion is Krishna. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. They are discussing about Krishna. That shows the quality of consciousness they are having. And both Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, they were concerned about protecting the child. Here Kansa also came to give some kind of presentation to Kansa. So that he is pleased, Kansa is pleased, and in that way would not harm the child. And that was his concern. Nanda Maharaj's concern was to protect the child. And therefore he came all the way from Vrindavan to Mathura. And Vasudeva also, although he was away from Lord Krishna since his birth, but still his consciousness was in Vrindavan, thinking about Krishna, that Krishna is protected. Krishna should not be harmed. And in that way, they exhibit the highest quality. What is our consciousness? So therefore, it is very, very important to know that, important to understand from this story also, in this, from these verses, that how we may be doing so many services, but what is our consciousness? How we perform all our services, in what consciousness we are performing? That is important. And that will determine. That will determine our the level of our consciousness. And we can see that how this principle of give and take, or protecting the duty of Kshatriyas, was to protect all citizens. And if the Kshatriyas or the kings, they would be so much powerful that nothing would go wrong in their kingdom. Everything were going on so properly because they were able to protect their citizens, and because they were performing sacrifices, the yajnas, and therefore the demigods were also pleased by their sacrifices, and they would supply the rains, and because of the rains, the grains would grow. And in that way, Srila Prabhupada, in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he explains that how this system or this cycle, evam pravartitam chakram, nanu varti yatiya, that this cycle of sacrifices or the Lord who himself he has given this system of sacrifices, sahyagya prajasvishta puravacha prajapati, and by performing these sacrifices, how demigods would supply all the necessities, and in that way everyone was very happy. And Lord Krishna himself, in that next verse, he explains that if somebody takes all the necessities but does not offer back to the demigods, then he is considered to be a thief. So that is a very strong statement on part of Lord Krishna. Because whatever we have received from the Mother Nature, we should reciprocate by giving back. Or from the demigods, we should be grateful to them. And therefore, how to be grateful to them? By performing various sacrifices to please them. And that was a system in earlier ages. And kings would see that everyone follows that, and sometimes they would perform big, big sacrifices, and nothing would go wrong. And in the later chapters of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami explains the story. In Dwarka, there was a Brahmana whose son dies. As soon as he takes birth, this son dies. So this Brahmana comes to this, to the king, Ugrasen, and he tells that how it is possible that in your presence my son is dying, when we are very young. So that means there is some kind of flaw, in the sense that the king was responsible for the death of child. Something goes wrong. If servant does something wrong, then the leader is held responsible, or his master is held responsible, that how your servant is doing something wrong. So that is a high responsibility of the leader or the king or anyone who takes a leadership position. They are held responsible because somebody does wrong. They are not training them properly. So therefore, this Brahmana comes and starts accusing this king. He tells that you are Brahma Dvisha. You are envious of Brahmanas. Therefore, these things are going on. You are lubdha. You are very greedy. You do not like to see the progress of us. Like this, he was accusing, he went on accusing him. And he went. Again the second child was born, again the child was dead. And this was ninth time the child was dying. Ninth time he came. At that time, Arjuna was there. And he was accusing that, just see, in the presence of Lord Krishna, Sankarsan, Pradyumna Nirdha, there are such great Kshatriyas. In their presence such things are happening. So he was not getting that protection from the king. King's duty was to protect. But he was not getting that. So he was accusing. He was very disturbed. And Brahmanas are supposed to be protected. They are not supposed to be taxed. In the earlier days, there was no question of taxing Brahmanas or Vaishnavas. All the taxes were for Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. Because the duty of Brahmanas was different. So that time Arjuna was little bit disturbed because he was accusing Kshatriyas, Kshatra Bandhu, like that. He was saying, and Arjuna was getting disturbed because he was Kshatriya. And he was thinking that how this Brahmana could say such things. So he decided to take the case in his hand. That he decided that, okay, let me take the initiative. And he tells this Brahmana that, do not worry, I am there. This Gandiva bow is there. And I had defeated Lord Shiva. And who has awarded me this Pashupatastra? I have such power and I will protect you. Next time when your child is getting born, just let me know. Krishna was there, but he knew that he wanted to reveal certain different things. He wanted to again show his supremacy, that how ultimately the supreme protection is given by Lord Krishna. And he allowed Arjuna to speak in that way. And the tenth time when the child was getting born, this Brahmana he called Arjuna. And he said that, maybe today the child will be born. You please come and protect him. Do not allow anyone to take the child. And Arjuna came there. And he was trying to protect. He shot arrows in the sky and trying to protect from all sides. And a child was born and then disappeared. So again this Brahmana came and started telling that, see what has happened. You cannot do anything. You could not do anything. You could not protect the child. So again Arjuna was very much disturbed. His blood started boiling. Kshatriyas, they cannot tolerate insult. And he decided that I will fetch the child wherever the child has gone. And because Arjuna was having some mystic powers, he empowered himself with those mystic powers and he decided that he will go to Yamaloka, because probably Yamadutas might have taken. So he goes there. He doesn't find a child there. Then he goes to Indraloka. He doesn't find child. He goes to so many different places, but he doesn't find child anywhere. And Arjuna had taken the vow that if he is not able to protect the child, he would enter into fire. He would burn himself in the fire. So that time Lord Krishna comes and tells that, don't worry, I am your friend, we will go and find a child. And Krishna brings his chariot, and the chariot starts running. Both of them, they sit in the chariot, and Krishna starts taking the chariot in the northern direction. And he starts going from one planet to another. They start traveling interplanetary. Modern scientists, they cannot understand how this is possible. That how they can travel interplanetary with the same bodies, with the chariot. But they had these mystic powers. Krishna, nothing is impossible for the Supreme Lord. And Krishna takes the chariot far beyond Brahmalok, beyond the border of universe. And they go beyond universe, where there is darkness. And it is explained that the horses of Krishna, they were little afraid to enter the darkness, because there was no light. And somebody may think that how they, because Krishna's chariot, Krishna's horses, they are all transcendent, how they were afraid. But again, it is explained that Krishna was in this incarnation, he was playing again an ordinary person. He didn't exhibit his all powers. Or sometimes he performs certain pastimes by which he even bewilders those who are atheistic. And he then releases his Sudarshan Chakra. And there is a light. And again the horses start going in the forward direction. And then they see the effulgence of Brahma Jyoti. Arjuna also sees the effulgence of Brahma Jyoti. And they reach the abode of Mahavishnu. And they see the huge serpents, very, very huge serpents, and thousands of hoods. And Mahavishnu is lying on the bed of the serpents. And all the children were with Mahavishnu. And the reason why he had to steal the children, because he tells that, I just wanted to see you. Because both of you are performing such wonderful pastimes, you are the incarnations of Naranarayan. And in my form as a Mahavishnu, I cannot leave this and go there and witness the pastime. So I wanted to see you, both of you. So therefore I stole all these children. And Krishna and Arjuna, again they bring all the children back to this Brahman and give them. So in this way, Krishna was showing in this story that how he is the ultimate protector, he is the ultimate supreme personality of Godhead. In all other kings or kshatriyas, they should be aware of this fact. Even while performing any of the duties in the material world, one should not forget this. Otherwise, there is a tendency, if somebody gets some power and he thinks that, I can do anything now. I have got this power. But this is very, very insignificant. And that is also Krishna's power. It is not our something, that we have created something. But ultimately it is Krishna's power. And to the degree we remember this fact, we will not get influenced by the material energy. Otherwise, the moment one thinks that this is my or mine, I can control, I can rule, then he gets covered by the external energy of the Lord. And therefore, these wonderful stories, they remind us how to remember Krishna. and how to cooperate with each other, in the sense that earlier the kings and the demigods, there was a cooperation. Kings would perform the sacrifices and the demigods would supply all the necessities, because they are demigods in charge of various necessities of humankind, and they would be very happy to supply everything. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada explains that your love to me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. And if all the devotees, they cooperate with each other, then there will not be any problems within the society. Because the moment one is encouraged or one is given something, he feels like reciprocating. He feels like giving back something, that I have received so much, so let me give back. But the moment something is deprived of, or artificial scarcity is produced, then people, although they have desire to give, they have a capacity to give, but they don't give because they don't feel secure. So therefore, it is the responsibility of the leaders. In fact, I was reading the books by Bhakti Tirth Maharaj on the leadership, which are very, very inspiring. And he covers so many of wonderful points for an ideal leader. How an ideal leader should create that kind of sense of security amongst his followers, and in that way how everyone can be happy. Of course, in Kali Yuga it is quite difficult, because all the systems of monarchy is failing, democracy is failing. Even recently we saw that in South Africa, the Egypt, the president who ruled almost for like 30 years. But unfortunately, we can see that now we could not, all these things were exposed, that he was just trying to repress people and trying to exploit the wealth of people. And what is happening now is that the prosecutors, they are demanding that he should be hanged to death at the age of 83 almost, because they cannot tolerate that the leader has been given such a responsible position and he is not performing his duties towards the citizens. So therefore, in the modern time, we can see that so many countries, the leadership is failing. And His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj has given these two wonderful books, which are very, very inspiring. And those who are in the leadership position, or they want to be leaders, or they want to be leaders in the mood of servant, they should all try to imbibe these wonderful principles, and it will be very helpful. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments? Sorry, I went over time, but still any comments? Mataji, please. Silent here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.